In this podcast, Kate Ponsford speaks to Kimberly Hill, Managing Director, Australia and New Zealand at Getz Healthcare Australia.
So, what attracted you to your current role at Getz Healthcare?
Good question. Honestly, I wasn't looking at the time, but when I saw the job description for Getz Healthcare, I really saw an ability to kind of expand my influence, my ability to have impact on a larger group, and just the diversity of the role. So moving from more of a commercial sales marketing role to across the whole business. So I think it was a good fit for my skills and background and experience, but also provided a lot of opportunity for growth and development.
And you went through C-Centric, obviously. Did you find that there were any benefits working with a executive search firm to get the job?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I had been with my last employer for over 16 years.
Yeah, wow.
So I hadn't really been in the searching realm. And it was really nice to kind of have, I'd say, that intermediary to kind of bounce ideas off, discuss next steps and progress, and really be comfortable with the decision I was making.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I don't think I would have found the role if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Now, when you're looking to add to your own team, is there anything outside of, you know, technical and actual experience or qualifications that you look for in those sorts of senior leaders?
Yeah, so I think behaviors are actually even above technical and experience. Yeah. I think energy, the ability to see people through change, to get people through change, being curious, constantly learning, it's all about that willingness to try, willingness to learn from your mistakes. Yeah, and just, you know, the hardest thing I think as you get further and further up in leadership is you're having to make decisions with imperfect information.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to make decisions and to navigate your way through ambiguity, I think is really critical as well.
Yeah. And you've worked across a few markets. How have you found working in Australia compared to the US and Japan?
I love talking about my experience in the three different countries because I think three very, very different working cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's hard to compare all three at the same time. But if I were to compare, let's say, Japan versus Australia, the biggest differences are probably in Japan, it's all about authority, hierarchy, respecting chain of control. And Australia is all about equal, about making sure everyone feels included and that there's a common playing field. So both work, but very, very different. And I tell people this a lot. My biggest differences between the US and Australia are probably, I summarize it as tall poppy, but not from an idea that you're envious or angry at someone who succeeds here in Australia. It's more about how you bring people along.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely critical, I think, when working in Australia to really build that consensus, get that consultation and bring everyone with you. Whereas the US mentality is a little bit more stand out and lead and have everyone follow. So it's a very different way to hopefully get the same results, but just what's accepted.
Yeah.
What I think is amazing is all countries seem to want to root for the underdog. So it's really fun to see that dynamic.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is people, though, despite how the cultures work or kind of the environment we're operating in, are motivated by the same things. You know, the autonomy, mastery, and purpose holds true in all three countries.
Yeah.
So in terms of the workforce you create and how you engage employees, I think looking back on those three things and understanding, do they have autonomy? Do they have mastery? Are they growing and they're developing? Do they have purpose and vision? Do they know why we do what we do? Mm. I think those things are consistent across all cultures.
Yeah, great. What made you decide to take your first job internationally?
I had always wanted to work or live internationally. Yeah. I didn't have the opportunity to in university because I was on a college swim team.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I went into my first career, I'd let them know at the right point I'd like to go overseas.
Yeah.
It was 9 years in that I went back to them and said, okay, I've gotten results. I've proven myself. Now I'd really like to look for a job overseas. And I was given the option between Singapore and Japan. So with that, I kind of dug all in into Japan.
You're great.
Yeah. Didn't regret it at all.
That's awesome. I mean, you would hope not.
No, amazing experience. I think I've talked to a lot of people that are considering jobs overseas and, you know, with the right mentality. And if you're doing it for as much your own career growth and development and understanding, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you, if any, have any sort of top tips you would give to aspiring leaders that are looking to step into your sort of role?
Yeah, I think first it's really important to do something you love. I mean, you can listen to all the advice about these are the fastest growing careers or these are the highest earning careers. But I think first and foremost, it's important to do something you really, really enjoy. And find a role that speaks to your skill sets. Don't go against the water. Yeah. Find out where you're strong and continue down that way. I think that's first. Get results. Do your job as well as you can. And then I think look around the organization and look for other opportunities to contribute. And everything else should fall in place from there.
Yeah. We've obviously just lived through, still living through the pandemic. How was Getz affected initially?
Yeah. I mean, I think all businesses were impacted one way or another. Getz Healthcare Australia New Zealand has been around since 1965. So we're fairly well established in the industry, but it was actually an excellent opportunity for us to take a look at who we were and the areas we were in and really define or further refine our focus and our operations and how we do business. Mm-hmm. And we set out from the get-go to come out of it stronger than what we went in. And we made some, I still think, incredible changes given the circumstances we were facing that really allowed us to do that. I mean, I guess we're still coming out of it. But the organization that we are now is, I think, light years ahead of where we were.
Yeah.
And just the behaviors and the skill set. The other thing we focused on during the pandemic, knowing that we're in the healthcare industry, is we talked about we needed to be at our best so that the healthcare providers could be at their best. Mm-hmm. We knew we were kind of the backup to them. They needed their supplies, they needed their products, they needed their services and support. And so we had to find a way to continue to make that happen despite unbelievable obstacles. So it was actually, as much as it's been hard on everyone professionally, personally, it was a really, really inspiring time to make change and to really reevaluate how we do business.
No, that's great. And if the business is stronger at the end of it, that's even better.
Yeah. I mean, our customer satisfaction scores are up, our employee engagement scores are up, our business performance is exceeding budgets and plans. So, everything seems to be heading in the right direction.
Excellent. Mm. And are there any of those initial impacts that you guys are still dealing with today or?
Supply chain.
Yeah.
that old chestnut. No, I think supply chain for some time is going to continue to be challenging. We're in, consumables, implantables, capital products and service.
Yeah.
And in various areas at various times, we're just seeing unbelievable delays and difficulties. We've gotten really good at managing those for the consumables and implantables. Mm-hmm. It's the capital products where just the raw materials aren't there to manufacture the equipment that continues to be the most struggle.
Yeah. Did the border closures have a big impact as well on your supply chain? Or?
They did. Where they also had an impact, I think, for a lot of people is for service.
Yeah.
So we do servicing of the equipment on site. We were very fortunate as a company that we had people in every state already. So we had additional training and upskilling that had to occur over the pandemic so that they could cover a broader range. Mm-hmm. But we were lucky with the borders closed, we could still get most of the servicing done and out to the equipment.
Really lucky.
Because Australia is big and a relatively small population. So a lot of organizations only had one or two people to cover the whole country.
Yeah, that's it.
So we were lucky that we'd already had that size and scale that allowed us to keep servicing.
No, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of your staff work from home. Some were still obviously having to come to work, but how did you keep everyone engaged during that time?
Good question and hard. I would say we really amped up the communication. Starting with me, I send out now a weekly email.
Yep.
We have monthly lunch and learns. We have monthly trivia. So it's not all work. It's a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. We have quarterly town hall meetings. We've got a lot of avenues for communication. And I would say in some ways, I feel better connected with those people interstate and overseas than I probably had been before the pandemic. Mm. Because I think prior, you naturally gravitate to those people in your own state, the people that you can go to lunch with. But through this, you had to make that very intentional. Mm-hmm. So I think as much as it's been hard to build deep relationships, we've also had a lot broader relationships and increased probably our connection globally. So, but a lot of work.
Yes.
And we're trying things all the time. you know.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much.
No problem.